Obviously, the Ukrainian events since November last year have really fundamentally changed the perspectives of the region. First of all, Ukraine is an extremely important country, large country, in a way in the middle of the continent, and it's really important for the development of the whole continent. And in Ukraine, I am optimistic. I think what has happened in the last 3 months has been, of course, there has been many tragedies, but these lives that have been lost, hopefully have not been lost for nothing. What I mean is that Ukraine seems to me a more unified country than ever, in the sense that the country has spoken against tyranny, against the rampant corruption that characterized the country until now, and for a European choice, which European choice is a choice of values. So, this popular uprising has won, and it's tremendously important. I can only compare it with the solidarity movement in Poland in the 1990s. So in that sense, I'm really tremendously optimistic and pleased. So there has been a lot of propaganda in trying to convince us about the opposite, but this propaganda is very untrue. This has not been a we heard sort of about extreme nationalism, but we haven't seen it on the Maidan. On the Maidan, we saw that every nationality, Ukrainian speakers, Russian speakers, Jews, everybody, were together in a heroic way, and this is fantastic. Of course, it happened already in 2004, but I am optimistic that this time, this enormous popular uprising for democracy and human decency will have a lasting positive result.
Domnule Calman Mijei, se vorbește foarte mult despre fascism, radicalism, dreapta ar domina evenimentele. Este adevărat că oamenii de etnie rusă ar trebui să trăiască cu frică, în frică?
Exactly not. Just today, eight very important, very prestigious intellectuals from Lviv, which is normally associated with the core of the Ukrainian ethnic linguistic national conscience, have called the parliament for linguistic tolerance. I see exactly the opposite of ethnic intolerance. I see in Ukraine that now, because the situation was so grave, people really understood that Russian speakers and Ukrainian speakers and all the other minorities are really together in this fight for human decency. Of course, there are small minorities that are intolerant and that have ethnic radical views, but it's really a small minority. So in that sense, we couldn't be more optimistic about Ukraine.
Dumneavoastră ați fost asistent al secretarului general pentru Europa și Comunitatea Statelor Independente. Ce rol ați îndeplinit atunci în Ucraina?
In 2004, at my initiative, we established what was called the Blue Ribbon Commission for the new president at the time. That was a collection of the best Ukrainian and international experts to work out reform recommendations. And this was a very, very powerful document, and most unfortunately, and here I have to be very open, after the Orange Revolution, which was also a very big moving moment, the new government in Ukraine really wasted the opportunity, and the words of Yulia Tymoshenko, who became the prime minister, but before she was appointed, we had a meeting, and her words are still in my ears, and she said, we can only implement popular reforms because we will have parliamentary elections. I have to say, this was the most short-sighted statement of a politician for which, and for the implementation of this vision, Ukraine paid a heavy price. And I'm just very hopeful that that the Ukrainians have learned from the lesson of 2005, and they will implement radical economic reforms. And I do hope and I do trust that the international community, the European Union, the IMF, the United States, the World Bank, are going to come to the support of those reforms, but the support largely has to be conditional. The Ukrainian elite has to understand that it has to implement reforms that secure its long-term economic efficiency. This is very, very critical. It did not happen in 2005, but it has to happen now.
Domnule Mijă, evenimentele din Ucraina pot fi comparate cu evenimentele din aprilie 2009 din Republica Moldova?
So, 2009 in Moldova and now in Ukraine. I would rather say that Ukraine obviously has a big influence on Moldova, because Ukraine is a very large neighbor. And now the situation in Ukraine has turned much more positive and much more optimistic, and it has to help the Moldovan government and the Moldovan society to get faster, closer to the European Union. We hope that the visa-free regime that as you obviously do remember, I was a big advocate of it already in my tenure as the EU Special Representative. But finally, there is an accelerated work to give visa-free regime to the Moldovan people. And the association agreement with its free trade clause, I really hope it is going to integrate Moldova closer to the European Union. What is, however, very important for Moldova as well as for Ukraine is really to cut back on corruption, because corruption not only in these countries, but Moldova and Ukraine are sufficiently poor that they cannot afford the level of corruption that exists in the society. And we need to direct the European funds and international funds to the best use. Infrastructure has to emerge that integrates Moldova and Ukraine faster with the European Union neighbors, and this way can cement in a positive integration of process.
Domnule Mijei, pe acest fondal într-o stabilitate fragilă crește sau se diminuează șansele soluționării conflictului transnistrian?
I see the Transnistrian conflict as still a target of long-term efforts. Obviously, as Moldova's integration moves ahead and Moldova's economic growth is quite respectable. If this trend continues, Moldova is going to be more and more attractive to the Transnistrian region. What is also important, however, that the Russian government representatives really sit down with the European Union and start talking very seriously about the future of the region, including Ukraine, including Moldova, and including Transnistria. And finally, the Russians should accept the fact that the people in these countries want to integrate with Europe, and that European integration is not against the interests of the Russian people at all. On the contrary, European integration is in the interest of Russia. But I don't yet see that the Russian leaders would have reached this conclusion. They still think in this traditional zero-sum game way that whenever there is a European success or a success of the countries in European integration, it would somehow be against Russian interests. That is not the case. And in the moment when the Russian leaders will start really believing that it's a positive sum game for both Europe and Russia, that these countries integrate with Europe, then I think we will have a constructive moment for the Transnistrian integration. In the meantime, confidence building remains very, very important between Moldova and the Transnistrian region. We have to explore all the opportunities. We have to offer projects that help this integration and that help the people in Transnistria so that when the moment comes for a serious settlement talk, everybody be ready for it.
În această situație, credeți că Federația Rusă condusă de Vladimir Putin va insista pe crearea Uniunii Euroasiatice?
I don't see that they would give it up, but I think it's very unrealistic. When it concerns Ukraine and Moldova, that goal has become politically very unrealistic. But I have to say that regardless of the politics, Customs Union project is not a very viable project. It doesn't help Belarus, it doesn't help Kazakhstan. So people got into a straitjacket that they shouldn't be. I think what should be the focus of the attention, and Russia should welcome, is a gradual integration with Europe, and Russia also should become gradually ready to have a deeper integration with Europe. And of course, the irony of the situation that the elites in Russia, you know, people like to have houses in the European Union, they like to come to shop, they like to send their children to be educated in Europe, but then there is this hypocritical approach that on the level of symbolics, they are having a much more controversial approach to us, so as Europeans. And I think that psychological barrier needs to be broken in Russia. But I seriously doubt that the Eurasian Union project would bring any benefit to anybody.
Domnule Mijei, admiteți o răcire a relației dintre Uniunea Europeană și Federația Rusă sau, din contra, Bruselul și Moscova ar putea găsi limbaj comun referitor la stabilitatea din această zonă?
Well, I trust that at some point this dialogue between the European Union and Russia is going to to become much more constructive and much more friendly. But again, what is needed here is that Russia doesn't see European integration of Eastern Europe as a kind of development against the interests of Russia. But it is something that is ultimately in the interest of Russia's development. And Russia has very big long-term challenges. It has a decreasing population, it has a stagnant economy, a poor economy, it has tremendous infrastructural problems within the country, it has on its southeast a very dynamic and more powerful China. So it is all in Russia's interest to have the best of relations with the European Union. And I can't be waiting too patiently to see a change of the strategic thinking in Moscow to really become much more constructive and much more forthcoming in the strategic relationship with the European Union.